With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Roosters v. the Cowboys. I will say, there were a few calls in this game where I was like, that's a tough call. But I do probably think the Roosters, the Roosters were a better side. I felt like they deserved to win. But I definitely thought there was a few calls where I was like, man, that's tough on the Cowboys, like really tough. Like there was a one where he didn't even get dragged out and he threw the ball back in, but the Cowboys got penalised for dragging him towards the line. You know what I mean? So the refs are like, held.
Yeah.
They're dragging him. And as he does that, he throws it. He blows a whistle and it's a penalty. Again, I'm not saying he intentionally did it, but I thought, fuck, that's a tough call on the Cowboys. Another interesting point from this game. The Verrills one was absolute. How is that a try? How is that a try? What? Anyway. To be clear, though, I did think the Roosters were probably the better side. So I'm not saying that. I just thought that Cowboys fans have a right to feel a bit like, ooh, we got it tough. But, again, it always comes back around. A couple of weeks ago, it helped you. So it's not like you haven't got your calls as well. I thought an interesting fact. I thought the Roosters looked the best they've looked in TAC in quite a while. To put 32 points on a Cowboys side is not easy. And I thought, interesting, Tedesco had the least amount of runs he's had in a while.
18 runs. Which is a half for Teddy normally.
Yeah. And I thought that's really interesting. Like, does he need to just pull back a little bit to open things up for him? Now, it's only one game. And again, like, to be really clear, we're not sitting here saying, oh, Teddy's the reason this, that, the next thing. But I thought they looked noticeably smoother in attack. What do you guys think about the Roosters?
Yeah, I like that's the first time I've seen that with Teddy, but it is interesting to think about. Obviously, Joey Manu had 21 touches, runs of the football, so three more than your fullback Teddy, which is pretty wild. It's probably only this team that you could see that happening to. I don't know. This is the first week I've sort of felt like, okay, maybe it is clicking. Maybe it is starting to come together. I thought the way that they used Connor Watson was really good. Literally took Radley off, put Watson on. He went berserk and they pulled him off. They didn't try and make it all work together. Watson, go and have your impact. Bang, come off. I thought that worked really well for them.
Yep. I thought Lodge and Hargreaves were fantastic. I thought Lodge and Hargreaves were like just so good that first 20. I thought they really dominated. It seems like Robinson has settled on a game plan. It's almost like this blitz and first 20 kind of footy, like just go out, go super hard. And then he had Watson and it's Mitchell, isn't it? On the bench. Hutchinson. So he had Watson and Hutchinson. So that's two smallish players on the bench. I think he is really settled on, we blow him off the park the first 20. So Hargreaves, Lodge, I just want you to go crazy. And then we bring on little fellas to almost, at the very least, keep up that pace of game, or at the best, to increase it again. So the opposition's going, holy shit, this is just too fast for us to handle. You know, I thought Crichton played really well. Radley, I thought, had his best game in quite a while. Nat Butcher was outstanding in defence, 43 tackles, zero misses. I just think they're getting a real balance to their side. Suoliti, mate, he is like, has he almost locked a position on the wing for Australia? Like, I know I was talking, like I was throwing up a Smokies a bit ago, but like, that's Smokey chat. That's not lock. Are we going as far to say that we would lock him in on the wing?
I'd pick him.
Would you pick him, Tim?
So who would be the other option? So you've got Josh Adokar.
You've got Adokar. You've got Dan Gagai. Valentine Holmes.
So we'll have Val will be at centre.
Yep. So it's pretty much Gagai that will be pushing him for that spot.
Are we assuming Daniel Tupu's playing for Tonga?
He'll play for Tonga. Yeah.
Mm. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Look. So him v Gagai.
Probably.
Well.
And like Gagai's form hasn't been the best. I mean, I think he had a good game last week, but.
Yeah. Hard to argue.
Suoliti, he's just.
His contact at the moment, it hurts to watch.
Mate, like. And his timing, like, those are not easy tackles to land. Like, they are not easy tackles to land, and he does it every single time. And then Robertson has this great game plan where, well, it's a small part of it, but every time the Roosters score points, guess who takes the second hit up? Suoliti. And it's to make sure Suoliti stays in the game. He stays in the game. It, like, because he knows how important he is to their go forward. Whereas sometimes wingers, if you don't force them in there, the winger doesn't know when to go in. He doesn't have the opportunity to. He wants to stay on his wing because he's trying to keep the width. Every single second tackle, Suoliti will take it after the Roosters score points. He kills it every single time. You know, he had two line breaks on the weekend and a try. I personally think the Roosters are building to something quite nice.
It's crazy, like, when I watched them, you know, like, I thought Joey Marner was everywhere that game, the amount of hit-ups he took. He took 21 hit-ups for 177 metres. Suoliti took 15 for 160.
And crazy. You're basically about 9 metres a hit-up as a 19-year-old.
Would have looked all right on the wing for the Bunnies, Matty.
Bunnies are going all right. To be honest... If they kept Suoliti, they probably would have had to lose Latrell, Walker. One of them is going.
Just because of the money. That just because of the money. Way.
And like, hindsight's beautiful, but I actually agreed with South Stance at the time that we're not going to mortgage our club and give you all these clauses.
Yeah, for sure.
So that, like, yeah, it's easy to look back and say that, but
100%. Whatever. It's 100%. You're totally right, though. Like, it's so easy for everyone to go, oh, If Rabbitohs knew that he was going to turn into this, they may have gone, oh, okay, but they didn't know. We're judging decisions made 2 years ago with information that they didn't have. What I found really interesting, though, is that Roosters were willing to make that risk. Like, they were willing to go, you know what, we're willing to have clauses, all that kind of stuff. But I think both clubs won. I really do. Because Rabbitohs keeps Suoliti, one of your big backline members is going. There's just no doubt about it. And Rabbitohs are going fine. Aren't they above the Roosters on the table? Yeah, they are. They're above.
Adds another narrative to the story too.
Yeah, for sure. And like, we love
he's going to be playing to the Roosters. Well, I hope he's going to be playing to the Roosters for the next 10 or 12 years, and it's going to be brought up all the time.
But the concern at the moment is, so actually Teddy came out and said that he is open to a switch into the 5'8 role. And in the comment, he also said, like, eventually, but he also said that would give the opportunity for Suoliti or Manu to play fullback. I actually think the Roosters are in a bit of trouble keeping Manu. Like, someone is going to give. Something's going to give in that.
Surely Teddy, Manu and Suoliti can't finish their careers.
There's just no way. Yeah. Something's given in that. They're just like, for example, Manu's taken 21 runs. Like, he can, it's almost like he can no longer just sit down on the wing. People, if you remember Manu 2 years ago was a guy that might have 6 to 8 runs, and then 4 of them were incredible. But so he's been biding his time out there, and it's almost gotten to the point where he's like, I can't sit out here any longer. Like, I want to get involved in the game. I want to enjoy it. I can't see a world where they can afford to keep, even financially. Let's say they had an infinite salary cap. And
if
say in the crazy world of that, an infinite salary cap, I just think that Suoliti or Manu is going to want to play fullback, or six.
And so they should.
And it's fair. Like Suaalii played fullback throughout all of his juniors. That's what he is. And so I wonder how they're gonna shape that. I really, really do. Like, because even if Teddy goes to six, that means you have to lose either Sam Walker or Kiri. Mm. And to be clear, Teddy was talking. He said, you know, in a few years. He didn't say now. But even if they do that, if Manu goes to fullback, that Suaalii is still stuck on the wing. If Suaalii goes to fullback, Manu's still stuck in the centres. So really interesting. I mean, it's a great headache to
have. Imagine having these problems at your club.
Oh, fuck me. Seriously. now, look, I really think that the Roosters are building towards something. And I think Robinson is slowly beginning to settle on his game plan. Now, is it 2018 all over again? I'm not sure. But I tell you what, they're building nicely. Every week they're getting better, in my opinion. And I think that they may hit real top-tier form come finals time. And I think they're just like the Rabbitohs, maybe even more so. They're a scary team to be playing in the finals.
Yeah, this is the first week I've sort of sat back and gone, okay, fuck, Trent's working it out now. Mm. Starting to get some momentum.
What do you reckon, Timmy?
Yeah, very exciting for the old Roosters fans. And to think they've got Lindsay Collins, he's due back at some stage. Obviously had that concussion, still waiting for symptoms to completely clear for that to bring him back. Taukeiaho due back should be this week. They're two massive ins for that forward pack.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bloke we spoken about a fair bit already, and that's Victor Radley. Missed rounds 11 to 15 this season. They lost 4 or 5 in that period.
Mm.
Since he came back off the bench against the Panthers. They almost beat them out at Penrith. They've won 5 on the trot since.
Mm.
So speaking of the value of a lock and a Victor Radley to the club, you know, results say it all there. During that time, they tried things like Taukeiaho at lock. Nat Butcher played a fair bit of lock, who, you know, they're fine in that role, but they're not the ball-playing lock that the Roosters need is that link man, that NRL teams need is the link man at lock nowadays more often than not. So I think they've realised that, like, even if Radley were to go down again, surely Connor Watson comes in as that 13 and just in a similar ball-playing role. But hopefully they don't have to, and Radley can see out the season and keeps his hands clear, stays uninjured because he's had a few troubles. But a lot of it's come down to Victor Radley.
It's a completely different note. Just on James Tedesco, we just said he had 18 runs. He still had 9 tackle breaks.
Yeah, he's fucking
amazing.
The next
best was 5.
Yeah, he's incredible. Some of the tackle breaks too were mental. Like nothing was on and he was like spinning around in circles and shit getting out of it. Mental. Also, I'm pretty sure, again, we've seen this before, so it's not confirmed, but a report has come out that Angus Crichton has been, like, they've agreed to terms and their contract is essentially done.
Wow.
Again, though, we've heard this before. Yeah. But if that is the case, like, their cap, I don't, like...
Okay, could that have something to do with them, obviously, like Sam Verrill signing with the Titans last week?
Yeah, maybe.
That's the only thing I can think of. Why...
But, like, they're going to have Sam Walker upgrading. They're going to have Suaalii upgrading. It's going to be... Yeah. And they got Cheese coming to the club. Cheese coming to the club. Fuck, that's impressive. You know, there's even whispers of the Mad Dog getting offers from the Roosters. Again,
can you imagine
confirmed.
If next year the Mad Dog or the year after signed with the Roosters, just the bedlam in rugby league?
Mate, they'd be all right.
Suaalii, Tedesco, Munster,
cheese.
Manu.
Cheese.
If Munster was to go to the Roosters, would it be like, would that announcement be bigger than when Kronk went there, do you think? Or
nah, I think Kronk was such a stalwart of the Storm system and he had to such a clean cut look and like the whole loyalty thing. And again, I'm not saying he's being disloyal, but I think that even took the Storm by surprise. Like I think even Storm were a bit like, what? Like, you're leaving, fair enough, but to the Roosters? Like, yeah, fuck. Could you imagine? Oh, my God. There are whispers, though. Again, nothing confirmed or whatever, but there's genuine. People have seen the articles of Munster to the Roosters.
Fuck.
It'd be wild. Absolutely wild.
That happens if you're the Dolphins. You must just be sitting going, fuck, what?
What's going on there? I mean, the Dolphins have been in... They've been used by so many players to get bigger contracts.
It was always going to happen.
You know, I think it is a really good learning curve for the next club to come through. It's like if a player agrees, get it writing straight away.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is that doesn't even matter because you don't want a player that doesn't want to be there. I think like, I guess probably if they did it again, they'd just be more mindful of the fact they may be being used to drive value up.
It's going to be interesting, like if the whole Dolphins thing doesn't work out in the first few years, like, it's going to be tough to bring another team in.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if with all of Wayne, like Wayne missing all these targets, if with his England connection, he's just about to go whack with a couple of big name signings. I mean, that, like, there hasn't been anything about it, but you know, options are getting limited from the NRL, aren't they? So I wonder if he's got, like, there's talks of like Johnny Bateman in talks with the Tigers, is, I think I saw the other day, just something like that. If he just goes whack with two big ones from the Super
League. Know what it was interesting about the Johnny Bateman Tigers one is, I reckon, again, full tinfoil hat, put her on. No evidence for this whatsoever. I reckon the Tigers intentionally put that out to put a bit of pressure on Papali'i to make him go, hang on a sec, I might fucking lose this massive contract. And because like that Bateman came out the week, and a few days later, Papali'i confirmed that he's going. I honestly reckon that they fucking did that to put a bit of pressure on Papali'i and go, this contract just isn't sitting here for you. If you want to fucking not commit, we'll whatever.
We'll bring in Johnny boy.
Because like Johnny Bateman back from the.
Oh.
I mean, I'd love it. And I tell you what, if there's one player the Tigers need, it'd be a player like Bateman, because he's a ripper and terror. Look what he did at the Raiders. I think that, and look, maybe there's way more to it, but I think that is something the Raiders probably look back on and go, you know what, we probably should have done more to keep. Because like my understanding was that Bateman wanted a longer contract because he wanted to be able to say, look, I've got a long-term contract, I can bring my family over and live with me. The Raiders came back and said, look, we just don't have that money in the cap for you. You know, you're more, because we don't have that money, you're welcome to speak to other clubs. And then he was of the mind of like, you know what, I should just go back to England because my family's already there. My kids are in school, rah, rah. That's my understanding of the situation that it happened. And if that is the case, I wonder whether the Raiders sit there and go, you know what, maybe we could have moved a few things around to keep him. Had you heard anything different or the same?
Yeah, to my knowledge, it's much to anyone else's. It was just a family thing. He had his daughter who'd be, you know, 12 or 13 years old, something over there. Obviously a really hard time to bring them out at that age. When they're younger, you know, not to settle into schools and that, but, you know, pretty pivotal time of her life and the family life. So I think among internal things at the Raiders, it was just family. It was so much of an influence on that. So, you know, no matter what you moved, maybe it wouldn't have made a difference anyway.
Yeah. It's interesting, like the George Williams one, like I thought that was really sad how it happened, because at the forefront of that, his wife had just become pregnant. COVID and everything had hit. Like, how can people not understand? Like, I understand he signed a contract, and there may be some people out there that would stay and they would allow their partner to go back. But, you know, do we really expect a father to be away from the birth of his child? Like, the support system of a family is so important with children. And they're basically in this country, barely know anyone. Yeah. For her to have that child during COVID as well, where you can't do anything. I thought it was sad how that all panned out, how there's such a negative public spat about it with, you know, all the, anyway, but yeah, so back to the Roosters. I don't know how we got all the way down there. Fucking hell. Yeah, look, I think they're building nicely, and they're a very scary side to be playing over the next few weeks. Now onto the Cowboys. Are we concerned, boys, with the Cowboys, with the performance? I feel like the last 6 weeks, they haven't been where we hoped they would be. Now, they're still top tier, all that kind of stuff, but I just, like, they've had a lot of points scored on them, whereas before, now, it may be the standard of people that they're playing has increased, but I do think last 6 weeks, they haven't been as convincing as maybe the period before them. I thought Le Lewis' try tip on was amazing. You know, I personally, they went through so much this week as a club. I don't think there's much to really take away from this game. But I will say, like, when you look at the broader scale of things, like not just this week, I think there was a period where they were only averaging like 12 points a game, whereas I think if you actually look at their last 6 weeks, they'd be averaging around the, you know, 16 to 20 or something like that. Thoughts, boys?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned there that maybe other teams are, you know, the few teams that come up against. I mean, they played the Sharks up in North Queensland. They lost that one 26-12. They beat the Tigers. They shouldn't have. They then played the Dragons. They then played Canterbury. They won both of those.
But Canterbury took it to them.
Canterbury took it to them, yeah, for sure. And then down by the Roosters, like, it really hasn't been a great 6 weeks for them. I mean, if you take out that Tigers win, which they shouldn't have got, all of a sudden we're probably looking at it a little bit differently.
Yeah, and I know people don't like that. They're like, Or if you didn't win this game or that game, but that genuinely is something you could say.
And fine, don't worry about wins. Look at performance.
Yeah.
They didn't perform well in that game. I don't give a fuck about the result. They didn't perform well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am starting to get a little bit nervous about the Cowboys. They play the Warriors this week in North Queensland, then South Sydney, and then they have the Panthers up there. So it'll be interesting to see.
Perfect game for them before finals. Mm. Because it's a tough game you want. You don't want to go into the finals playing, what was it, Dogs? And then?
Warriors and then South.
Warriors and then South. Like, South obviously are decent, but I reckon Penrith is perfect because it's just a barometer of where you need to be. What do you got there, Manny?
So I just did the maths on what you said. So for the first 14 rounds, they averaged 12 points conceded a game, 12.5. And since then, which is the last 7 weeks, they've averaged 22.5.
Boom. Wow.
I think it should be noted that Origin period would have taken a big whack on this team too.
Mm.
They only had a couple of guys that played. They still had a fair few, but they also had like your Chads, your Dins, all these guys that were coming in and out of Cowboys camp for 5 or 6 weeks. Jordan McLean, Reece Robson, the Reuben Cotter injury. Like, I think injury did make it. I think Origin made it a little bit tough for the Cowboys. I'm not trying to excuse them, but I just think it probably should be noted. It's probably something that Todd Payton's never had to deal with before either.
I think what's going to be interesting is that sometimes when you have these crazy preseasons, and we've all heard about the crazy preseason that the Cowboys had, especially the first crazy preseason, sometimes you can fatigue at the back end of the season. And I'm not saying that that's the case, but like, let's say they go, you know, loss, and then lost first finals. That could be something that they need to look at as a club. Again, to be really clear, they deserve a lot of raps for that preseason because that preseason has put them in the position. But sometimes there's like little things you can tweak. You know, for example, Penrith did it so well in their long runs where they, like, Ivan Cleary came out and was asked, like, how are you keeping these boys up for everything, rah, rah? Mm. And he said, we don't rest on the weekend. We rest during the week. So, like, we send guys away for 4 or 5 days. And so I wonder if it is the case that they are feeling a bit flat or fatigued. Again, I don't know if it is. But if it is the case, maybe they can look into that going forward next year of like resting certain players in certain periods.
Well, mate, that's where I wonder if that, you know, if over the next 3 games, if they will rest a couple of players at some point.
Mm. Well, are they guaranteed a top four spot?
They're not.
So they're on 32. So would you, let's say they win next game, would you rest them at least for one game?
I'd seriously consider resting them for the Rabbitohs or the Panthers game, especially if they play the Panthers and they rest a heap of their guys too. I don't see
the Panthers. Do you think the Panthers will rest guys?
I don't know. I know we keep saying, oh, the Panthers, are, you know, they didn't do it last year, they didn't. But, like, surely the more and more years that go on, the more and more footy they have to play, you start to consider it, don't you?
Mm. I don't know. They've already had that rest, though. They've already had that rest where they rested a bunch of boys. Mm. Oh, I don't think they do. I think they play. I think because they've already got Cleary, Luai are out. Yep. Martin will probably be out. I don't know if they'll rest anyone. Oh, but the Cowboys, for example, if I was to rest some, it would be the Rabbitohs game. And if we lost, whatever. As long as they win the Warriors game.
I'll just say, though, the Cowboys will be desperate for a home final.
Yeah.
So they might not rest
anyone.
So
if they win the Warriors, if they win against the Warriors, they go to 34 points where it's almost like, I mean, Storm could go on to win. It all depends on what happens next week, really.
But what I'm saying is the Sharks are on the same amount of points. And if the Sharks go second, the Cowboys go third, they have to go down to Sydney in week one of the finals. Mm.
Yeah, they won't be able to rest because of that reason.
Okay, yeah, you're right. My bad.
Wow. And I mean, without coming back to it again, like if they didn't have that 2 points in the Tigers game, like if the Sharkies lose a home final off the back of that, they'll be filthy.
But I think Fitzgibbon is such a...
Yeah, he'll deal with it, internally you'd be...
Yeah, you'd be absolutely pissed off. Well, the good thing is, though, that they're now on equal points. So, what's Sharks run home? Have you got Sharks run home? Soft as anything?
Manly this week, which is the toughest by a mile. But, you know, we saw what they dished out on Sunday.
Mm.
And then Bulldogs and Knights. Yeah, Bulldogs at Bulldogs in Cronulla, Knights at Newcastle.
So, Sharkies could have a home.
Big chance.
Ooh. I tell you what, we spoke about last week. They've just been swimming along. Just fucking cruising. Okay. Sorry, back to the Cowboys.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, so like as I think we, well, I mean, Timmy, what do you think about the Cowboys?
Oh, just to be on the street out for me, statistically speaking, was the meters of the pack. Colin Hess, 30 meters. Ruben Cotto, 108. The back rowers, Gilbert and Nanai, had 45 and 41 meters. And then Taumalolo had 70 meters. Now, McLean came off the bench back from injury. He was 100. That was solid. And Luciano Leilua, 141. But the meters of the starting pack, they're like horrific.
Do you think it like has a lot to do with the emotional drain the week had on them, maybe?
I don't know.
Yeah, don't maybe. I think it was always going to be a tough game for them. Like, Greeny is such a big part of that club. There's numerous players and coaching staff that you'd just be hurting, man. Yeah. Fuck, you'd be hurting. You'd be fucking hurting. So, yeah, it by itself, guys, I wouldn't look into this Cowboys fan. To be honest, 30-18 against a Roosters team that's hitting peak form at home, that's not too bad. It really is. And they also had some really tough calls. Like, for example, take away the Verrills try because that was outrageous, like absolutely outrageous. You're looking at, 28-18? It's not bad. Not bad at all. Sure. So nothing. Not alarm stages.
There's even like some of those, like the pass of Victor Radley through that floater, like 99 times out of 100, that wouldn't happen to you. Radley's just a freak to be able to see that in that split.
Like it's kind of like they score tries by being incredible rather than a lacking of the Cowboys. Yeah.
Like if your lock forward can pick out the three defenders wide and shooting in that split second and float it to your winger,
good on him. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're totally right. So look, Cowboys, I think it's just amazing what they've achieved this year. I really do. So good. And Tuolungi's try, oh, fuck. What a beast. How good was that? So what I loved about the Cowboys' performance is that like their tries were so impressive. Like that Leilua tip on, one hand, a big boy like that, so good. And then the Tuolungi, he just goes, oh, Sam Walker, there you are. It's you've got a chance to tackle me. Let's see if you can do it. Fucking balls. He hit him so hard that he hit Tedesco.
He used him as a shield pretty much, yeah.
Fuck me. Tuolungi, what a great story his year. He's had such a good year. Cowboys fans, I think that it's all good. Again, the only negative can be if you look at that 6 to 7 week period, they have looked less dominant in defense than they have in the past. But I do think they can turn it around. Who knows? Maybe, you know, we do find a Storm as well. Leading into finals footy, they like really load their training. And sometimes Storm teams get a bit flat just before finals, and it's because their training load is so heavy. And so the Cowboys could be doing that right now where they're just training them really hard so that as soon as they – just before they hit finals, they really back off and they get this kind of springboard into finals. Rabbitohs do it. Like they struggle all year, then they get to finals and they're fucking incredible.
The only guy we didn't mention there who I thought he was really good on the weekend, Ruben Cotter, once again.
When is he not good?
Seriously. He's never going to play a bad game.
Yeah, like he's just... But to come back from the injury and the hamstring, and he's not missing a beat.
Mate. Like, he wasn't even in a lot of our fucking 13. He wasn't even in the starting 13 for a lot of our Cowboys, you know, packs. Now, I know, you know, we probably had him... Like, were you super convinced that he was starting side? Like, you had him there because you were a fan of him.
Oh, I was in my team, but I wasn't convinced Todd Payton was going to have him there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like this guy that, you know, we had, like, that everyone had these huge raps on him. We knew he was going to bounce onto this. Like,
wasn't there, you would have gone, okay.
Yeah, okay, he's off the bench. Yeah. He's
I would have done it, but I get it.
Yeah. I'd go as far as say is if he came out and played poorly and ended up in reserve grade this year, I don't think people would have been shocked because we hadn't seen... We hadn't been given an opportunity with all the injuries had to see how great he was. That's how far he's come in a short span of time. You could argue he's the most reliable player in the comp at the moment, like, or at least one of the most reliable players. Incredible what he's managed to do this year.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.